And
Sorry.
the amount of times I've had to pick up the phone and say, "Can you just give me a rough timeline on when this permit is going to come in?" And it's almost impossible to get, right?
Right.
So when you're communicating to the market, we're gonna be drilling X amount of meters this fall, and you're not able to give a definitive timeline on when that'll kick off. It makes things very difficult. And also, just from a planning perspective, whether it's capital allocation or getting drill crews, because it's a very busy market right now, and there's lots of people exploring. So getting a good drill company and all these things that you need to line up, having some real visibility around that in a definitive timeline, is very good for our investors. It's good for the company, and it allows us to execute more efficiently.
Matt Philgate, Greenlight Metals. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's get into it. You've had some interesting news, some what I think is very interesting news, exciting news, as well as some great drill results out recently. But let's start with the drill results. Talk to me about that, and about those.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we just released holes 9, 9W, and 11. So this is a continuation of the exploration we've been doing along strike at Bend. So 9 and 9W were undercuts of hole 7 and hole 4. So on that long section, hole 4 was one of the better holes that we've hit. It was 32 meters at 3.5, 4% copper equivalent.
Right.
This undercut goes down into what we're calling the footwall zone or the FW zone. And so this
Okay.
is a big sequence of stacked volcanics and sulfide, part of the overall, mound that would have formed on the bottom of the ocean. And we're seeing really good gold grades down there. The copper grades start to dwindle a bit in this footwall zone, but the gold stays very consistent. So the results we put out were 52 meters at 1.3 grams per ton gold. It was averaging about 0.1 to 0.2% copper. And then the core of that, the kind of higher grade stuff that would likely fall into a resource, is around 10 meters at 2.5 to 3% copper equivalent. So very consistent grades that we're seeing. These are step out holes. I think we've now drilled down to close to 400 meters depth on that section. And then we released hole 11, which was an undercut of hole 6. So it sits 100 meters away along strike to the east. And then there we saw 10 meters of a percent copper and a gram gold. So just about 2, 2.5% copper equivalent. So really good to see, these continue to hit as we go down, dip, down, plunge. And we're just chasing that copper and gold mineralization out along strike to the east. So, these results just, they signal to the market that we continue to grow tonnage at this deposit. Obviously, a signal to the market that there will be a maiden resource coming sometime in early 2027. And
Fantastic.
so each one of these holes is in, a stepped out area. This is new material, and it's not part of that historic 4.5 million ton resource from the 90s. This is all extension drilling. So we're very happy with the progress so far. We see this, these large intersects, these 50, 60 meter intersects, as adding significant tonnage to the overall project.
Yeah, fantastic. And talk to me just a little bit. It's interesting about how I would say how firm copper has been really in the last 6 months here in relationship to the other metals. In fact, I would say it's leading gold and the other metals. Just comment a little bit about that, somewhat of the outlook of copper and just really the firmness that you've been seeing.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of it comes down to the su supply demand curve, right? Which
Right.
everyone talks about. It's fundamental economics. But we see supply dwindling and demand increasing with copper. Obviously, these huge infrastructural builds in the U.S., whether it's data centers or upgrades to the grid, EV charging stations, on and on and on, right? The supply for copper just isn't there, and it's an industrial metal. It's needed for these infrastructural builds, where gold's a speculative metal. And so, the copper is very practical. And so I think it just follows basic economics, the basic supply demand curve. And I think that's what we're seeing. Some of the largest mines in the world are coming off production or slowing down production, like the Grasbergs of the world. So these are, this is where the opportunity lies. Obviously, the US is very committed to securing a domestic supply of copper. And so that's why projects like ours are important. And then obviously we'll get into the news we put out on Monday. But the government in DC is focused on being supportive, whether it's through the permitting process or putting equity into companies. Like we saw the White House invest in Trilogy Metals a few months back. I think that the argument for copper, being here for a long time, these kind of elevated prices is very strong. And until we have more big mines come online, I think it'll, the price should continue to rise. And so it's really until that supply is met, I think that we're in a very strong bullish copper market for many years to come.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more with you. We actually, Tiffany, who works with us, she actually dropped a video just recently, and it's done really well. Just educating people on AI, but the way to play to pl one of the ways to play artificial intelligence is not by investing in artificial intelligence, but investing in copper resources or company like yourselves that are looking for the things that will power AI. But it's not only about AI, as you said, it's an industrial metal used in just about anything industrially, and just the supply of it is completely, I don't want to say collapse, but we're in dire straits, I would say, with copper production here worldwide, correct?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And a majority of that copper is coming out of China, right? So, we talk about domestic supply. Really, the only way to do that is to bring these projects online, produce copper in the US, smelt it in the US, and direct to market in the US. So I think that we'll get there. Obviously, the big hang up there is the smelting side. We produce a concentrate, we send it off over to China, and then they refine it and sell it back. And that has some risks when you're looking at geopolitical situation. So I think that that's really the big driver behind the spike in the price of copper. I think that we're going to see this really change in the next couple of years in the US as they firm up the commitments to produce it domestically. And so that's what really excites me about being an explorer in the US is that these high grade copper projects are of significant interest to the US government. And so that bodes really well for our permitting process, potential funding mechanisms from the US government. And so it's a great place to be.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that here. You came out with some news that you guys are, I want to get this right, correct me if I'm wrong, Fast 41. You're in part of that program, which is, I have a few companies that participate in that and are in that. Talk to me about Greenlight and that and the importance of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our Bend project is on Forest Service land and BLM. And so it's for any permit that we want to submit for exploration, besides the private parcel that we're drilling now, the 40-acre private parcel, is permitted through the government. And so we submitted a prospecting permit. It's for 29 drill sites, anywhere from, probably end up being around 15,000 to 20,000 meters worth of drilling. That process can be a little gray because you have multiple agencies working in tandem, right? So it's kind of a bit of a game of phone tag where you don't really know who's supposed to be carrying what part of the permitting process. What the Fast 41 designation does for Greenlight is that it makes all agencies accountable, and it forces them to work together under the umbrella of the Permitting Council, which is out of DC. So it's overseen and supported by the White House. And that's really important because a lot of companies get caught up in this process of permitting on federal lands to do mineral exploration, and sometimes it can take a year and a half, 2 years, and we just can't work on those timelines. So it speeds up the process. We're expecting approvals on that permit by early November. So from start to finish, let's call it about 5 months-ish. And it'll be listed on the Fast 41 dashboard, which is a government website, and shareholders can actually go on and see where we're at in the process.
Yeah.
And so it's very transparent. I mean, the exploration stream of it is called the Transparency, Fast 41 Transparency Stream. And that's what it's designed to be. It's to allow the public to track the process of the permit. And it gives investors, reassurance that we can be able to kick off this large exploration program in the fall.
Yeah. You said something key there. It's not only accountability, but it's transparency. So you can. Not only you, but investors can go to the Fast 41 Transparency website and just see where you guys are at. And then it also, the accountability part, it shows that, okay, this county or this state or this whatever or this government agency needs to be talked, they have their data in where we're at. And this other agency has to put their data in where we're at. And so then it's everybody's talking and communicating with each other, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so, you know, that's really key because, you know, as an exploration geologist in my past life, I permitted many projects for exploration
I'm
and
sorry.
the amount of times I've had to pick up the phone and say, can you just give me a rough timeline on when this permit is going to come in? And it's almost impossible to get, right?
Right.
So when you're communicating to the market, you know, we're gonna be drilling X amount of meters this fall, and you know, and you're not able to give a definitive timeline on when that'll kick off. It makes things very difficult. And also, you know, just from a planning perspective, whether it's capital allocation or getting drill crews, because it's a very busy market right now and there's lots of people exploring. So getting a good drill company and all these things that you need to line up, having some real visibility around that in a definitive timeline, you know, is very good for our investors, it's good for the company, and it allows us to execute more efficiently.
Yeah. So before we get into whatever news you have coming out or what investors should be aware of, I want to talk a little bit about our friend, mutual friend Jeff Phillips.
Yeah.
He is, a lot of people know him, and I've become friends with him over the last year, and he's an investor in you guys, and he's really, really concerned or interested in share structure and capital allocation. Matt, talk to me a little bit about your share structure and your cash, and again, that criteria is so important to Jeff, but talk to me about yours.
Yeah, well, yeah, Jeff's a great guy. He's an early shareholder in Greenlight. He's one of our advisors, so we work with him down in the US, and he's a very active participant on markets. So he's constantly buying shares. He's very supportive of the story. Look, our cap table is very clean. I mean, granted, we've been around for 1 year, so you know, we haven't had these big dilutive raises. But right now we have 99 million shares out. About 50% of that's held by institutions, some very strong institutions in there, Delbrook out of Vancouver, Vestcor, Rothschild, you know, a lot of very renowned, you know, DWS, part of Deutsche Bank, came in on our last financing. We were able to do that financing at 35 cents. So it was basically at market when we did the deal. There was no warrant associated with it, which,
I
you
remember
know,
that because I asked for
yeah.
Go
Look, and
ahead.
I'm not against warrants because they're built-in financings, and if you can, you know, if you
Right.
can get that share price appreciation, you can capitalize on warrants very well. But it can create an overhang on your stock, and it's more dilutive than it is not. So we were able to do a very clean deal there. Obviously, raised 11.5 million. We had demand for up to 18.5 on that, and as a 22 million market cap at the time, and it being a life financing, you can only take about half of our market cap. But it showed that support. And the market that we were in, but able to bring in some really good supportive institutions, and then you know we've been able to parlay that into some very successful exploration and really start to show the market that this Bend project is not just a 4.5 million ton deposit, that is trending to become something you know that could be much larger. And so that's you know I think we're able to execute on that with the clean cap table and very supportive institutions and good shareholders like Jeff. You know,
And
who
myself.
not only buy stock, yeah, and yourself, of course, not only buy stock on market, but also support us through these types of interviews, and getting the word out of what we're trying to do in the US.
Yeah, fantastic. So Matt, tell me here, why should be investors be paying attention over the next several weeks here? Take me through the rest of the quarter.
Yeah,
What you
sure.
can
Yeah, we're
talk
gonna
about.
continue drill results. You know, we still have two drills turning. We're going to complete another 2,000 meters. So, you know, that's five or six more drill holes in this campaign. And then we'll launch into the fall program, which will be a much larger drill program. You know, we announced a deal with Barrick on our Callon Canyon project. That's the joint venture. So we should wrap that up and have that definitive signed here in the next couple of weeks. And
Congratulations to
then,
all of us.
yeah, and then look, Barrick's excited about that project. So they're going to get to work right away. And we should. You know, as the owners of that project and having them earn in as news flows in, and if there's a major discovery there, it's all upside for our shareholders in a project that was really non-core to the company up until this point. And then, look, we're actively negotiating for more assets in Wisconsin. So, hoping to announce some land deals and some exciting new projects that'll come on into the company. Start permitting those right away. These are on private land, so it's just permitted directly through the state, which is a much quicker process. And look, this fall is going to be a very active fall for us. You know, we're hoping to be drilling at least two to three projects. Obviously, Bend will still be our focus, but lots of discovery potential and significant upside with some of these other assets that'll come into the portfolio as well.
That's fantastic. And real quick, let me just pull on the string with Barrick a little bit.
Sure.
You guys sound like almost like a prospect generator with the deal with them. It's like non-dilutive, all upside.
Yeah.
Where's my reasoning gone wrong on that?
No, I mean, that is essentially the model we took for that project. The Callon Canyon project came over when we acquired Lobo and Lobo East in Wisconsin. It was a private company. It was owned by Ewan Downie and a few guys. And so we acquired Canamerica as the entire company. And with that came over Callon Canyon. We really wanted to try and figure out a way to capitalize on that. Obviously, we're focused on VMS deposits and copper critical metal assets. And so that's an early stage gold exploration target. And so for us, we decided let's find a partner for it. It just makes more sense to have a good explorer like Barrick out there doing the work, putting the capital in to earn into it while we retain upside in the project. Right. So they can earn up to 80% by spending, the total will probably come around 40 to 45 million if you include the cost of that pre-feasibility study. To get up to 80%. So that's non-dilutive capital. We don't have to go raise that. We don't have to spend it. And then we retain 20% upside in the project, which after that pre-feasibility study, we'd obviously potentially, well, I'd say obviously, but look to exit on that with Barrick or another group and move it over. And that's a pretty large payday for the company and our shareholders. So that's the best outcome there, best possible outcome. But I think, if anyone's going to go out and make a major discovery there, it's going to be Barrick. They know Nevada very well. They know epithermal deposits very well. And so a great partner to have.
Yeah, love it, Matt. Matt, if people want to do more due diligence on you, how do they find you? Give us your website and give me your ex the exchanges that you're traded on and the ticker symbols.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We're on the TSXV under GRL, and then we're on the OTC under GRLMF. And then you can go to our website, which is greenlightmetals.com, and we have updated corporate presentations there and all the information about the projects. And then you can reach me directly. My email is in the corporate presentation, but just for your listeners, it's matt@greenlightmetals.com. So if you want to hear more about the story, go through the deck with me. I'm happy to walk any of your potential investors through it. And yeah, look, we're very exciting fall coming up. So
Yeah,
we're happy.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, Matt, great to have you on. Love to have you on again in the next maybe 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely, Andy. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye.